Translation interpreted by the Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Srimad Prabhupada Ki Jai. What is the use of the material body which automatically leaves its owner at the end of life? And what is the use of all one's family members who are actually plunderers, taking away money that is useful for the service of the Lord in spiritual opulence? What is the use of a wife? She is only the source of increasing material conditions. And what is the use of family, home, country and community? Attachment for them merely wastes the valuable energy of one's lifetime. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, advises. This is a long purport actually, like, so please be patient and listen carefully. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, advises, Svadhamam parityaja mam ekam sharanam vrata. Give up all other varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. The common man does not appreciate such a statement by the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he thinks that during his lifetime, his family, society, country, body and relatives are everything. Why should one give up any of them and take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? But from the behavior of great personalities like Prahlad Maharaj and Bali Maharaj, we understand that surrendering to the Lord is the right action for an intelligent person. Prahlad Maharaj took shelter of Vishnu against the will of his father. Similarly, Bali Maharaj took shelter of Vamanadev against the will of his spiritual master, Sukracharya, and all the leading demons. People may be surprised that devotees like Prahlad Maharaj and Bali Maharaj could seek shelter of the sight of the enemy, giving up the natural affinity for family, herd and home. In this connection, Bali Maharaj explains that the body, which is the center of all material activities, is also a foreign element. Even though we want to keep the body fit and helpful to our activities, the body cannot continue eternally. Although I am the soul, which is eternal, after using the body for some time, I have to accept another body, tata dehantara prapti. According to the laws of nature, unless I render some service with the body for advancement in devotional service, one should not use a body for any other purpose. One must know that if he uses a body for any other purpose, he is simply wasting time. For as soon as the time is ripe, the soul will automatically leave the body. We are very interested in society, friendship and love, but what are they? Those in the garb of friends and relatives merely plunder the hard-earned money of the bewildered soul. Everyone is affectionate toward his wife and is attached to her, but what is this wife? The wife is called Shri, which means one who expands in the material condition. If a person lives without a wife, his material conditions are less extensive. As soon as one marries and is connected with a wife, his material necessities increase. Pumsa steya mituni bhavam etam tayo mito hidaya granti maho ato griha kshetra sutapta vitteya yannasya mohoyam aham ameti. The attraction between male and female is a basic principle of material existence. On the basis of this misconception, which ties together the hearts of the male and female, one becomes attracted to his body, home, property, children, relatives, and wealth. In this way, one increases life's illusions and things in terms of I and mine. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.8. Human life is meant for self-realization, not for increasing unwanted things. Actually, a wife increases unwanted things. One's lifetime, one's home, and everything one has, if not properly used in the service of the Lord, are all sources of material conditions of perpetually suffering under the threefold miseries, adhyatmika, adhibhautika, and adhidevika. Unfortunately, there is no institution in human society for education on this subject. People are kept in darkness about the goal of life, and thus there is continuous struggle for existence. We speak of survival of the fittest, but no one survives, for no one is free under material conditions. Panchakalpa to the Vyasa, Kripa Sintu Bhai Vata, Patitanam Pavanipyo, Vaishnavipyo, Namo Namaha, Namo Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Vasaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhakti Granta Swamini Tinamani, Namaste Saswati Devi, Gauravani Pacharini, Nivishesha Sunyavadi Pasatati Satarini, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shri Vasadi, Gauravaktavinam, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yes. Okay, so first I would like to say what I'm going to do today. So I was thinking, I will go through some points of this purport here. And then in around 20-25 minutes, I will go to the pastime of Lord Ramachandra. I was asked to speak on him, but actually what I'm going to do, I will read about him. Yeah, so please bear with me. And I humbly request the compassion of the devotees for today's class and their blessings. Thank you. Yeah, so when we are hearing a verse like this, or maybe devotees not so much, but the common man, he will think, my God, what is this? This is everything I've put my heart and my life into to achieve all these material aspects of life, which were just here now questioned by Bali Maharaj. Is there something actually valuable in my life? And Bali Maharaj, here we know the pastime, he's just now giving... He's in the process of full surrender unto the Supreme Lord, and he looks towards great personalities as example, and he can see that they have given up all these material possessions and attachments, and so he is following in their footsteps. So when I read this here, and I was also with Mother Klangner, and the first thing she said, "Oh my God." You know, devotees, exactly they asked this question to Prabhupada. Why didn't you come earlier, Prabhupada, and tell us all about this, you know? Why didn't you give this knowledge earlier? You could have come earlier. And then Prabhupada said, but you were not ready. I couldn't come earlier because you were not ready. So we may also think, oh, why didn't I get earlier in my life in touch with Krishna consciousness? Well, most probably the answer is the same, you know, because we were not ready. And I also asked myself, but yeah, what to do? We were not ready. So that's why now when we have got in touch, it's so much important to take it serious and to take to all opportunities which are possible in devotional practice. So from this verse, I actually understood, like, here actually the potency of Krishna, his external energy, is described, because we know that Krishna's external energy is first of all, is his energy, so it is Krishna's energy, so it is strong, like his internal potencies. Krishna has external and internal potency, and the Tatastha Shakti, the marginal energy. So, and this external potency is very bewildering and looks like a very magical illusion, magical illusion. So, this bewildering potency is actually where the spirit soul is coming in contact with by taking birth here in this material world. And this potency is covering the spirit soul, who is actually, as we know, eternal, existing, who is the spirit soul, is full of knowledge and full of bliss. So it has, because the spirit soul is actually coming from the Supreme Personality of God as a part and parcel of the Lord, so all the qualities of the Lord are also within, manifested in that spirit soul, in that jiva. So the spirit soul is completely spiritual, but in touch with this material atmosphere, it gets covered or contaminated, and the spirit, the jiva, forgets his identity. So now we see here there's mentioned like home, wife, property, opulences, you know, like basically nice enjoyment in material life. And this is very natural actually to look for, because the spirit soul is seeking for enjoyment, and it is happening in the spiritual world. So we know there's a spiritual world and here's a material world. So the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. So within the spiritual world, everything is centered around Krishna. And every relationship is centered around Krishna. And there is a very nice loving reciprocation. And it is ever increasing and blissful. That is what we hear about. And when we practice devotional service, we can experience also. So here, in this paragraph now, where we hear the question mark, so it's definitely, it is concerned about material life. You know, people who have forgotten about Krishna and their relationship with Krishna. So for them, these aspects of material life is very important, because it is important for the soul. It is important to have nice relationships, and it's important. But we are looking in the wrong place. And so in this way, I wanted to say, like, from Bhagavad Gita 3:27, the verse Prakriti Kriyamanani Gunai Karmani Sarasa Ahankara Vimudatma Kata Hamiti Manyani. So the soul bewildered by the influence of false ego thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by the three modes of material nature. Yeah, so the material world works with the three modes of material nature, with these gunas, these ropes, which are binding the living entity. So this is now a little bit more in detail explained how that material world is covering or binding. Like in the spiritual world, we heard everything is going on very loving and nicely. So there is service, there's a mood of service, devotional service in love. Here, there is the, in the material world. So everyone is acting, actually, as we hear here, is carried out by the three modes of material nature. So the living entity is actually not doing the things by its own or by him or her own. It's actually more or less, you can understand, it's like a puppet, you know. So you have a puppet with three strings, a string of goodness, a string of passion and ignorance. And as these strings are pulled up, so the living entity will work according to this. So now, it is, would be interesting to see what are these three modes actually. So they are a little bit at least, not so much. Because a mixture, like you have an artist, he has different colors. He have red, blue, yellow. And is that right? Red, blue, and yellow. Yes. So he can mixture out of all these three basic colors a big variety of all existing colors. So in this way, these three modes of material nature are a mixture. From this mixture derives a variety of characteristics, varieties of forms in this world existing, varieties of how we all behave, how we sit, how we eat, how we think, how we want to do performance, sacrifices, renunciation, or whatever. Anything is colored by these three modes. And so as a general, I just want to point out a general characteristic here. And we find a person in ignorance to be acting foolish. Why foolish? Because ignorance means the person has forgotten about his relationship with Krishna. So there is no full of knowledge, there is absolute missing knowledge. So that's why the person is acting foolish. And he may act even mad, because he may take to intoxications or just, you know. Yeah, and a person in ignorance likes to sleep a lot. This is another symptom, a general characteristic. And the person is not very much inclined to work, is lazy. So now we can see a person in the mode of passion. In the mode of passion, this is a characteristic in general, like he is full of desires. The person is full of desires, of material desires. He likes to be fruitive, active, likes to receive some result. He becomes greedy in his life. He intensely endeavors to achieve. Another aspect now we have mentioned is the mode of goodness. So in the mode of goodness, actually the person is looking, or the person is situated in knowledge, so accumulates some knowledge, real knowledge, and the person, due to that pious lifestyle, he becomes quite happy and material happy, and he becomes becomes satisfied. So this is general characteristics. And so these three modes, so Prabhupada actually asks us when we come to devotional service to very quickly step out of this mode of ignorance and passion and come towards the mode of goodness. Because in the mode of goodness, we have the wonderful opportunity to understand Krishna, to understand the science of self-realization and to progress from there, because devotional service takes up from there. That's why he gave us this wonderful process, which we are attending here every morning and in the evenings, and the process of devotional service. So very quickly the devotees should try to move on. I will not speak now longer on these three modes, but there's so much to say. But it's very interesting, and it's said in Bhagavad Gita, very important topic for everyone to understand, to be able to make rapid progress. So Prabhupada mentioned the common man is lacking knowledge, you know, and that's why actually he is suffering, and he's actually a complete victim to this material existence, because he's lacking this knowledge of spiritual life and even of material life. He's lacking in all. So just one small example maybe about Ajamil, who started off his life in the mood of goodness. He was a son of a Brahmin, and he performed nice religious ritualistic sacrifices, and he learned this. He learned the Vedas, and he lived a good life in goodness. But by seeing men and women embracing each other and enjoying, so his consciousness fall from the platform of goodness to the platform of passion. He wanted to enjoy the same. And he got married to that lady who was a prostitute. And then, by that combination, their lives degraded more and more. They became children, and they did live a life of sinful, actually, activities. And he didn't speak the truth, and he stole money to maintain his household life, and like that. So he degraded himself from mood of goodness to passion to ignorance. So in the same way, we can become degraded, and we can upgrade us, or go higher. Yeah. So so that is consciously possible. So what is here the main point is actually because everything, why not to live a life, a material life, you know, could be nice, coming again, back and back, suffering here and there. But that is actually like chewing the truth, you know, and the living entity has to undergo so much suffering that at some point he really, really asks, my God, you know, is there not a change to it? So it means like when we are under the modes of nature, the living entity has to take birth again and again and again and again in many different species of life. It may not be always a human form of life, and in this way it may enjoy in the upper planetary systems or in the lower planetary systems, so, and suffer there. So but from devotional service we hear, devotional service is a spiritual activity, so it is only devotional service who actually is able to take us out from this bondage of material existence. And that's how he is asking here. One moment, what he's saying. But it is devotional service. So actually Bali Maharaj, she is happy to give up these attachments. So here it is said that what is the use of a wife? Attachment for all these facts like the body and the wife and the relatives and the friends. So attachment for them merely wastes the valuable energy of one's life. So So attachment, what is actually attachment? Attachment is like we bound, it's like a gum, isn't it? It gums, it binds the living entity to that certain activity, you know, or that certain feeling, or that enjoyment, or that pleasure. So these material attachments, they derive from material activities. So in the same way, and because they derive from material activities, where do they lead us to? So there is a verse in Bhagavad Gita, yam yam vapis marambhavam trayati antikalevaram tam tam evaiti kaunteya sada tatbhava bhavitaha. What state of being one remembers when he quits his body, O son of Kunti, that state he will attain without fail. So that is what happens where so in this way the living entity actually designs his own destiny, and this is done due to these attachments, where the thoughts are contemplating on and where the activities are concentrated on in one's life, that increases the thoughts, the feelings, and the willings of the person. And at the time of death, these attachments, they come up, and the thought go there, and then we hear, so what state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. So there is the example of this Maharaj Bharat, of course we all know, but still it is very important to remember Maharaj Bharat. He was situated on spiritual devotional service, on the state of Bhavi here, but nevertheless he developed again attachment to an animal, material attachment. So he remembered at the end of his life this deer. And in his next life, he again, he was transferred to the body of a deer. So, So as we understand, so solution to this repeated birth and death is only in performing devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it is said again in Bhagavad Gita 7:14, this divine energy of mind consisting of the three modes of material nature is difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. So we understand a bound man cannot, who has his feet and hands, you know, bound, cannot free himself. He must be held by a person who is free. So because the bound cannot help the bound, the rescuer must be liberated. So it's only Krishna and the authorized representative, the spiritual master, who can free the conditioned soul. And the freeing is through engagement in devotional service, and that in 14:26, one who engages in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. So one has to actually transform or transfer his consciousness to Krishna conscious activities. That is the point, always acting for Krishna, like always remembering Krishna, never forgetting him. So this is the key to the spiritual world. So it is devotional service, engaging one's body, mind, and speech constantly in the service of the Lord, and that will free us from the bondage of material nature and allows us to become attached to Krishna. By doing these activities, because attachment is then very much appreciated and very much desired, you know, attachment to devotional service, attachment to Krishna and his entourage and the spiritual world and devotees and the spiritual master. So, so here in this purport, now to family life, I wanted to say a few things here. So actually we can see that griha, so this material way of life, that is called griha media lifestyle, so where husband and wife are based their life on material sense enjoyment and sense gratification. But in opposition, we have devotees as grihastha ashram. So in this ashram, devotees, Dai Shishi Radha Gokulanda, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Shishi Gaura Nitai Ke Jai. So there's a completely different situation, because grihasthas, performing devotional service, they have taken Krishna consciousness very serious, and they do follow the four regulative principles, and they do follow the chanting minimum 16 rounds every day, and in this way, the whole family members, they are able to go back to Godhead. So, a Krishna conscious family, they spend their money in a proper way, because they have a home which they turn into a temple. And within this temple, they worship the deities, and they spend their money or Lakshmi to maintain and to perform, to buy the vegetables for the cooking, which needs to be done, and then the offering is done, the aarti is going on. You know, the family sits together, hears, reads, and chants. So that keeps them very strong in their spiritual life, and in this way, they are actually properly engaged in Krishna's service. And they will not have to undergo repeated births and deaths, you know. And also here about the wife who's expending. Yes, but the wife in Krishna consciousness is... we are living under the principle of simple living, high thinking. So she wouldn't... need is like 10 or 15 sweaters, if she might be happy with one or two or three sweaters. So there is not, because she has an aspect of living simple. And here I have, in successful ashram, husband and wife take up their respective duties to lead a Krishna conscious marriage life. So here I got some few points by Srila Prabhupada out of letters, which I want to read to you. Like one letter he is writing to Brahmananda, and he is saying, bodily relationship between husband and wife is secondary. Primary factor is that both should help one another in the matter of advancement of Krishna consciousness. So that is a very nice point here. It means together serving Krishna, and that's the first focus in their life. So a letter to Sri to Malati. Prabhupada was saying, I am very pleased that you are serving your husband nicely and helping him so that he may advance his Krishna consciousness. So now you could think, And then, when the husband advances, automatically the wife shares in his success, so there is all around benefit. So that is the attitude of the wife. She is serving the husband, and in spiritual life, all the benefits they are shared. So in a letter to Sochaya, he's saying, to Sochaya Devi, to her, he's saying, he is your spiritual master, but he must be responsible for giving you all spiritual help, teaching you as he advances his own knowledge and realizations. So that is his duty as well. So the wife is serving, but he has also to teach his wife, and he has to share his realizations and his knowledge. He has to give time for that. This is his duty. So a letter to Hamsaduta. All the wives of our students should be especially trained up to deity worship and cooking, and when possible, they should go on Sankirtan party with their husbands and others. So, I just want to say, this is one engagement of the wife. And to Dayananda, he was writing, keep yourself always in Krishna consciousness with your family members. Raise your children to that standard and employ your energy for serving Krishna. So it's very nice, he said, keep yourself. So we have to look for ourselves in Krishna consciousness. As much as we become devotees, we can give to others. But then he said, with your family members together, and make sure that everyone takes up and comes to a nice standard of devotional service. And in this way, all your energy is engaged in Krishna service. So the last one is, the husband must take, which is written to Novena, the husband must take full responsibility. The husband must take full responsibility for living outside the temple and earning money for supporting wife and children. So as we know, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is the beginning of devotional service, the middle and the end. Chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra goes on in the spiritual world as well. So it is said that, and the chanting is so powerful, that even if we are not initiated and we just start chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we are immediately transcendently situated. So this ISKCON movement is actually very incredible. It gives everyone a chance in this Kali Yuga to go back to Godhead. And but nevertheless, this knowledge is not yet enough known to the public. And there are still millions of people outside who are not engaged in devotional service. So, I'm shifting now over to Lord Ram's pastime. And here I... So it is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, because Lord Ram, he appeared and it is he sets the example of that of the ideal husband, the ideal king, the ideal father and brother. So he was living an ideal life, because we know that if you have idols, we follow them if they are setting the proper example. So yeah, okay. So are you ready to hear, to listen now? Okay. So it is one day. It is actually about how did it come about, this Ramayana. This I wanted to read out, how did it come about. So one day the great celestial sage Narada Muni came to Valmiki's ashram. Valmiki was conversing with the disciples, and upon seeing the arrival of his illustrious guest, he immediately stood up to show respect. After offering their obeisances and seating him very comfortable, the rishis washed Narada's feet and offered him suitable presentations. There were the usual inquiries of one another's welfare, and then Valmiki then said, "O best of those who know the truth, please tell me, who now present on the earth is the foremost of all great personalities? Who is the most learned and the most powerful? Who possesses the most attractive bodily features? Who is noble-minded, truthful, grateful, and most clever? Who possesses flawless character and always looks after the welfare of all living beings? Who is never subject to the influence of anger and malice, and yet instills fear in the hearts of even the demigods? Who has the strength to give protection to everyone within the three worlds? And to who has the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, bestowed all her blessings? Who is the reservoir of all opulences in full?" Narada Muni replied, "O Rishi, there is a king named Ram who has appeared in the dynasty of Ikshvaku, a son of Maharaj Dasharat. He is the embodiment of all good qualities. He is the reservoir of all opulence, and he is the master of unlimited potencies. Ram's mighty arms extend to the knees. His throat is decorated with three lines like those on a conch shell. His shoulders and chest are broad. His head is beautifully formed, and his eyes are large. His complexion is tinged with green and is very lustrous. His stature is medium tall, and his limbs are symmetrical and well-formed. His intelligence is unfathomable. His conscience is grave, and his speech is deep in tone and very eloquent. Ram is fully conversant with the use of weapons. He possesses absolute knowledge of the Vedas. He is the ideal follower of religious principles, and he is the upholder of the Vana Ashram social system. Ram is simultaneously the destroyer of all foes, and the only shelter for fully surrendered souls. He possesses unflinching determination, and he is a genius with unfailing memory. He is wise, compassionate, and grave like the ocean. Ram is heroic in battle, loved by all creatures, and he is impartial toward both friends and enemies." Narada said, "During the reign of Lord Ram, no one within his kingdom suffers from disease and mental disturbance. Everyone is quite happy and prosperous. Being without any fear of thieves, scarcity of hunger, all towns and villages are filled with abundant food, grains, fruit, vegetables and milk products. Actually, the people experience the same degree of piety and happiness that was formerly exhibited during Satya Yuga." After Narada's departure to continue his travels, Valmiki went to the shore of River Tamas along with his disciple Bharadvaj. There Valmiki sat down to meditate deeply upon Narada's words. Then it so happened that within the forest Valmiki's gaze fell upon a pair of Krauncha birds, cranes, engaged in a sexual relationship and singing very melodiously. Suddenly, a malicious hunter of the Nishada race came out of hiding and released his arrow. Being pierced, the male bird fell to the ground, shrieking with pain. Seeing her mate, writhing due to the agony of death smeared with blood, the female clowns cried out piteously, having been cast down from the heights of sensual enjoyment to the depths of despair. Seeing this, Valmiki felt pained at heart, and he considered the hunter to be very sinful. Flaring up with rage, the rishi cursed the hunter, saying, "O killer of birds, may you never find peace of mind for endless years to follow. Let this be the punishment for your heartless killing of an innocent creature who has engaged in gratifying his mate." But as soon as the curse was uttered, Valmiki felt shame for having become a victim of uncontrolled anger. As an enlightened soul, he knew very well that all living beings are acting helplessly under the influence of the three modes of material nature. Valmiki thus regretted that he had retaliated against the hunter, and yet at the same time he was astonished to realize that the curse had come out of his mouth in perfect poetic meter, and the curse seemed to hint at the predominant emotional theme portrayed in the life story of Lord Ram, which Valmiki had been contemplating ever since his meeting with Narada. Valmiki remarked to Bharadvaj, "From my sorrow has come a verse of four lines, each containing eight syllables. From shoka, remorse, has come a very nice shloka verse, for without compassion there can be no genuine poetic expression." So Valmiki, he saw Lord Brahma descending from his abode, the topmost planet in the universe. Being highly astonished, Valmiki jubilantly got up from his seat to welcome the secondary creator of the universe, who had appeared directly from the dome of Lord Vishnu. As Lord Brahma came before him, Valmiki very humbly bowed down to offer obeisances. Then he began to worship Lord Brahma to the best of his abilities with great respect. After being honored, Lord Brahma, who can understand the hearts of everyone, spoke as follows. "Blessed sage, do not grieve, thinking that you had wrongly cursed the hunter. I will tell you something very confidential. These words you had angrily spoken were not your own. My dear Valmiki, please give up your anxiety. By the strength of my benediction, even that which is unknown will be clearly revealed to you from within your heart. By my grace, your narration of Ramayana will be faultless." After favoring Valmiki, Lord Brahma departed up a celestial swan carrier, filling the hearts of those who beheld him with wonder. Then Valmiki, he sat down in meditation so that he could visualize all the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. Indeed, when Valmiki became deeply absorbed in the trance of meditation, he was able to clearly see all the events comprising Lord Ramachandra manifested appearance of this earth. So actually, Valmiki, he saw everything like in a television show. He could see the whole Ramayana. And then he actually, because time is going on, so I make it shorter now. So he's actually... he wanted to give this knowledge to somebody else. So he was looking for a disciple to whom to give this knowledge to, this Ramayana. So he actually, with him living in his ashram, was the two sons, Lav and Kush, Ram's sons actually. So, and he recited this to them. And he thought they're very capable. And thereafter, Valmiki very carefully taught Lav and Kush the entire Ramayana. And after it was memorized, they recited it for the very first time in assembly by Brahmans. These learned Brahmans experienced great transcendental pleasure while listening to the pastimes of Lord Ram. After praising Lav and Kush very highly, they rewarded the twins with ample gifts. So this is now the effect in Krishna consciousness. So also we are living in this world. If we absorb our thoughts in Ramayana and other such literatures, like our Krishna book, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, we can remain aloof from the material contamination and in our consciousness and reside in the kingdom of God. Okay, so I would like to stop here. Hare Krishna to the devotees. It's 1 minute time. I don't know if anyone would like to ask one question or make a comment.